So, John, I guess I should be asking what it is that you see.
Well, I think it's always the case that someone who interprets another prophet or prophecy, or someone who even makes their own prophecies and then tries to interpret them, is always the, it's not the person or the prophecy, it's how the individual who sees them or interprets them sees it. And then if it is documented, then one at the very least will find out what the perception of the person is who's doing it. And if there seems to be a timeline or a sense of certain motions in the future that the interpreter is successful with, then one runs with that. And
well, John, you live in a different day and age than Nostradamus did. You don't have to couch it in quatrains or anything else. You can just come right out and tell us what it is you see. And you're on an international radio program right now, so it's going to be very well documented.
Yes, well, there is the after my preamble, this is what I will say. We will have a war with Iran anytime between now through the summer, and it will most likely happen sooner than later, although certain things could delay it. The decisions are already being made, and the key to war or peace is in the hands of Israel.
Israel?
Yes. And one would hope, as I'm trying to set together in this book, Nostradamus, The War with Iran, is that there are a number of prophecies that Nostradamus recorded that talk about Persia, which is Iran, talks about Mesopotamia, which is Iraq, and also the importance of what happens in a war that lasted 6 days and how it relates to, he mentions those people that were involved in it, and it's a significant thing that we are speaking this very day, 40 years ago, was the sixth and final day of the Six-Day War, which is very significant, more so than the other wars that have been fought in recent times since 1948, because this was the war that defined the messianic issues, kind of let them out of Pandora's box, if you will, to curse us and bring us as well hope that, we can find a better solution. What I'm saying here is that when Israel took back the old city and reconquered the Temple Mount and the Wailing Wall, mm-hmm. they also took back, which was not only the foundation of their temple, ancient Jewish temple, which is one of the key steps in prophecy for the final days of the appearance of the Jewish Messiah, but it also triggered messianic passions in Islam, because it was considered the last step. It's a fascinating prophecy that I uncovered that was attributed in the Hadith, which is the sayings of Muhammad that were made in the 7th century that are not in the Quran, the holy book of Islam, but are a number of sayings and observations that are actually many more words than the Quran itself that Muhammad had recorded. And in the prophecy, he talked about something that was quite chilling and surprising to me, something I never expected to hear. Basically, he starts the prophecy, to paraphrase it, with talking to a disciple about what the future of Islam would be. And remember, back in the 7th century, there were only a few thousand disciples at the time, mm-hmm. and he was asked what would be the future of Islam, and he basically said, the number of believers will count equal to the foam of the sea.
It's wow.
an interesting way of putting it, because right now, in our present day, there are 1 billion people in the Ummah, which is the community of Islam, Shia, Sunni, and other sects, that transcends the national borders of countries. It's all the people who are the faithful. But he said at that time, they would have discover tremendous wealth, but certain Christian forces would use that wealth against them, and they would be afraid of dying and cling to life and materialism. But he said that at a certain point, there would be Muslims who would not, they would be often manipulated and used by the Christians to fight their wars, and then the Christians would turn around and say it was all their doing and not these people. They would even take them to the lands of snow-capped mountains and wooded forests to see peace treaties made. It almost sounds like what happened with Lawrence of Arabia in 1917, 1918, when what would be the first king of Iraq was brought to the Versailles treaties, to Europe, to the land of the snow-capped mountains and the forests, to see the Christian leaders kind of take credit for what they did to overthrow the Ottoman Empire. And then their lands were exploited and their wealth was exploited, just like Muhammad had predicted. But he says that things would turn around when there would be a new jihad, a jihad of the black flags, a sea of black flags that would first appear in Khorasan, which is a term for Greater Persia, which is usually used in ancient geography for Afghanistan. He said from Afghanistan would come the holy warriors. They would first be seen there, and they would then march westward and eventually go all the way to Jerusalem. Now, prophecy, especially in the Middle East, is, unlike any other tradition, is very much politicized. All other traditions, it may or may not happen, but if you look at the great prophetic traditions coming from the Middle East, they have one significant tradition they share beyond all other traditions. They are into self-fulfillment. It's kind of the next step, which is the common adage that you hear in the Middle East, is that perception is the truth. And this is also equates into their view of the future.
I think you believe that not only are those you're speaking of in the Middle East into self-fulfillment, you also believe that the Israeli leaders and our leaders here in the U.S. are also into self-fulfillment.
Irony about this situation with Iran is that a circle is being coming back to full circle. The place where apocalyptic end-time Armageddon battles were first conceived in religious thought, it was not in Judaism, but in ancient Zoroastrianism in the lands of Persia. And there are many Jewish scholars that I've been in contact with made me aware of it since 1986 with my first book, that many of the things that are considered Jewish mysticism are actually dispensed from the Persians who liberated the Jews from Babylonia to go back after the captivity to rebuild Jerusalem and rebuild their kingdom. Many, many things were dispensed from the Persians that became amalgamated with Jewish mysticism. One of the key points was the idea of a final battle between good and evil.